This podcast is brought to you by Rebecca Castles of the Rising Dawn series. Do you like violence? Do you like smut? Are you tired of the stereotypical novels of werewolf romance out there and want something a little bit different? Then pick up Sparked Revolution, Book 1 in the Rising Dawn series by Rebecca Castles. Available on Amazon, in Kindle, and paperback. You too can become a sponsor of Stories Are True in the Fiction by heading on over to buymeacoffee.com/STTATF or follow the link in the show notes. Guys, and welcome to the last Sweet Tooth episode of the Middle Ages Comic Hour. That's right. We are up to the conclusion of the arc we are doing, and we're going to be doing something new that Ryan's going to tell us about. For those playing at home, my name is J.A. Bryden. I am one of your hosts here on the Stories True and Fictional podcast, and the other guy that's always with me is Ryan. How are we doing, Ryan?
Hey, good, mate. Good. I've been reading some comics, and I actually have been doing some reading lately. So nice. I think this podcast has got me back into trying to pick up. I stopped reading the weekly series about 3 years ago, and since we started reading this, I actually jumped on the Marvel Unlimited app and picked up from where I left off. I've been doing a lot of reading at nighttime to help me relax and go to sleep. So. I can only say thanks to the podcast for that. So thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Jamie, for getting me back to the comic.
Yes, well, it has been doing really well. The last episode of Sweet Tooth, like every now and again, someone discovers the podcast, and you know what most people do when they discover a new podcast? They download everything. All of them. Yeah, but
For us, that's a decent commitment because I think we're like 150, 120 or something in.
We're like
all up.
In 3 years, 15,000 downloads or something like that.
Wow.
No,
that's pretty impressive.
It's going up. It should be that because I changed providers.
Yeah.
And you lose your count when you...
Oh, okay.
You know, kind of like, even though there's all those episodes, it starts over that sort of thing. But no, look, these comic book episodes have been doing really well and people keep jumping on them and keep on finding out about them and that. And the author... interviews are doing really well. We've got some of them lined up for you authors out there and those that have been around for a while. You know that our podcast is sponsored by two authors.
We've jumped up a level. We've leveled up in sponsorship.
We have. We have doubled our sponsorship.
We've doubled. We've increased productivity by 100%.
That's it. Thank you, Martin Kearns, for jumping on. Thank you for Rebecca Castles, who's... I don't know how long she's been. I think she may have even been a year.
I was in hospital a year ago, and she sponsored us before I went into hospital. So it's definitely been a year.
Yeah. Wow.
At least a year. So thank you, Rebecca.
We should have done some big party or something.
Well, I mean, we've had her and we've had her husband on. You know, she will probably get back on in a couple of months or something, and we'll have a celebration.
We should have a sponsor off or something. You know, like both our sponsors on and. I don't know.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll get Kearnsy on and we'll get Rebecca Castle on. Then we'll leave the room and it's a fight to the death. And whoever wins gets to be the number one sponsor on the card.
Wow. Okay.
So deathmatch. Okay. That's a new idea. I'm going to trademark that. Celebrity sponsor deathmatch. I'll LLC that bad boy once I jump offline. But thank you to Martin Kearns and thank you to Rebecca Castle as always for. Check out the Rising Dawn series. I know we've got an ad, but the Rising Dawn series and Martin Kearns' fantasy series at the moment.
The Valhalla.
I've read them a couple of times now, and it's definitely a book that you can buy and reread over and over again.
Yeah, he's got another book coming out in October, I think he said, and a pre-order thing is going to be happening soon, and we're going to get him back on when that launches.
I think that's the horror one that he said I'm going to be really pumped for, so I'm excited for that. So Can't wait for that. But yeah, it's always good. Like, it makes me feel good when we get sponsors because people actually think we're worth being on the air. So
That's
amazing. Yeah. And thank you to all our new listeners that are jumping on. As Jamie says, you know, every time we put out a new episode, it seems to do pretty well of this. So you guys are obviously interested in what we're interested in. So yeah, thanks for jumping on. And you don't have to donate. You don't have to just download and listen. You know what I mean? Like, we're not in it for the money. We've got money to cover our hosting thing, I believe. And you know, now let's just keep going and tell some good stories.
Yeah, but if you do want to throw some money our way, it's buymeacoffee.com/STTATF. Link is in the show notes. We've got like a dollar a month thing there if anyone wants to throw us a dollar a month. I mean, it's a dollar a month.
A dollar a month. You can sponsor me child. You can sponsor a child in Western Sydney named Ryan who dreadfully needs your money right now. Yes. No. But yeah, look, even download, buy me a coffee. I know Jamie says the link really fast, but it's in the show notes. Yes. I can never remember it. But also just by downloading, by rating and reviewing on iTunes or wherever you listen, also helps us out. So now that we've got that rubbish out of the way, I believe we've got a lot to talk about in terms of news because we had CinemaCon last week.
Yes, there's a lot of comic book news and even an older thing that keeps popping back up. Alan Richson from Reacher, he really, really, really wants to be the new Batman. He keeps talking about that.
He does.
He's been fan-casted.
I really want Jensen Ackles to jump in because he deserves it. Oh, and that's true. He's done Batman on a few occasions. So not only was he my favorite comic adaptation, he was the Red Hood, and under the Red Hood, he then stepped up and did the voice of Batman in the Long Halloween Part 1 and 2, which just came out, which is absolutely amazing. Our fellow sometimes co-host Chris, actually, that was his first dive in a long time to a Batman animated, and I got him into that, and he absolutely loved it. And Jensen Ackles was amazing. So I don't know if he's too old. I don't know. It depends on what direction they're going.
Well, they're both in the same kind of age. They're early 40s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Alan Richardson, I believe, wasn't he Aquaman in Smallville?
He was.
He was. Yep. So he's got a bit of DC background.
Yes.
Yeah, look, I can see it. He's got I love him in Reacher. He's got that rugged gruff look.
Yeah.
He could definitely play a good Batman. He really could. And if he gets cast over Jensen Ackles, I'm happy because definitely could get behind that.
Yeah, he's definitely got the build. And the Batman jaw.
And the jawline, that's the main thing. That's the main thing. You gotta have a chiseled jaw.
Yeah.
Because that most of the time when you're in costume, that's all you're gonna be seeing.
Yes.
Of the realest person. So
Yeah, but let's crack into CinemaCon. This is the thing that popped up. A lot of the things have popped up, but one of them was Keanu Reeves is going to be in Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
He is. He's been cast as the voice of Shadow, I believe, which is going to be pretty interesting. I actually really enjoyed the Sonic movie. Jim Carrey is fantastic. And apparently Jim Carrey is going to be wearing a fat suit in the third one, so we're going to get the proper Dr. Robotnik. Oh,
yes!
I read that the other day when I was reading the Keanu news, that he's actually going to be wearing a fat suit. So there's going to be some transition in this movie to the actual Dr. Robotnik that we get on the games.
Now, have you seen some of the reaction to Keanu Reeves' Shadow that have been going around?
Not really, no, to be honest.
Someone has done a sketch, a very good sketch, of Shadow, but John Wick.
You know? I was going to say, that's what we need. We need Shadow. It's the Shadow the Hedgehog in a full John Wick style suit and guns and everything.
That's exactly. You know, I'm gonna send it to you right now.
Nice. I love it. That's awesome.
I want to see that as an animated series.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think they're doing Paramount Plus, they're doing a Knuckles series, TV series with Idris Elba. So I think I just saw something about that the other day. So I'm definitely down for a Shadow/Shadow Wick or something.
Shadow Wick. Badass. That's Wick. The name. Shadow Wick.
The follow up to John Wick. Unfortunately, there's no more Keanu John Wick. It's actually Shadow the Hedgehog, voiced by Keanu Reeves. Is his way of coming back, but that's how he's actually going to come back for John Wick 5.
So yes.
You heard it here first, people.
Yes, and it's completely accurate. That's how it's going to work. It's completely, completely true. Now for my favorite thing that I don't know if this came out at CinemaCon. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, R-rated live-action movie in development.
Yeah, and we have heard a lot of rumors about this.
Yes.
And the fact that now it's been confirmed at an actual event, it's pretty exciting because I'm glad it's going to be R-rated because I don't think it's not like good for M-rated or MA or whatever, or PG-13 or whatever the Americans have. It needs to be balls to the wall, Logan, R-rated, you know what I mean? So they just need to be able to go to the wall.
Yes. And now for those of... In Australia, it won't be R-rated. It'll be MA. That's just how the rating
works. Look, it's still Logan was MA in Australia.
Yeah.
But that was amazing. So if it's anything like Logan, the violence and action that we're going to get, it's going to be pretty impressive.
Well, it'll be the first Turtles movie where they actually use their weapons. You know,
very true. And I wonder. It all depends on the team that's going to do it too, which I don't think we know yet, do we?
No, all we know is the producer's name.
As long as it's not Seth Rogen, I don't care.
It is Walter Hamada. He was a former president of DC Films at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of DC, and that's the tone we need. We need that DC dark and gritty tone.
Not to be racist, but because he's Japanese, he will... You know, it fits. It fits because The Last Ronin has that feel to it. It's got the dark Japanese underworld.
Yeah.
So that's what we need. And if Walter Hamada's on board, then man, we're already heading a step in the right direction.
100%.
But you might actually get a good Ninja Turtles movie in your lifetime.
I think when we get a little more information, I'll want to bring Jamie Johnson on for a deep dive to talk all about this.
Yeah, definitely.
100%. Because there's just not that much information on it other than, who's producing it.
Yeah. So I think we're still probably at least a couple of years away from it.
Oh, yeah, it would be.
Yeah. I mean, if they haven't even announced a time frame yet, you know that they're still ironing out all the details.
Yeah. All we know is it's happening and I'm very much looking forward to it and I'm going to be geeking. It better happen soon. I'm going to be geeking out. Because I remember when they announced the live-action Turtle movie, the Michael Bay ones, and it was like 4 years before. And they're going like, I can't wait that long.
And then we got it, and we got a bad movie, and we got a rapey Michelangelo, which I wasn't happy with at all.
Yeah. And I won tickets to the premiere, so I had to pretend to like it.
And our good friend Chris turned it down.
Yes, he did.
All I can say is, if I was your friend back then, if we were closer back then, I would have that would have been amazing. Do you do what you do and get a high five, a fist bump from Will Arnett?
Yeah,
man, that's wicked.
I mean, it was it was a good experience. I don't know if I really loved the movie. I think I tried to love the movie,
but I think going to a premiere is an experience in its own. So even if the movie is bad, It's still an experience that you're not going to forget.
Yeah. And then, 2 years later, I won tickets to another premiere.
What one was that for?
Hacksaw Ridge.
Oh, Hacksaw Ridge, yes. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. And both times I brought our friend Michael.
Yeah.
And he was my backup plan. No, I think the second time I won tickets to the premiere, the other one, Hacksaw Ridge, I didn't even ask Chris.
Because his wife probably would have thought he was going to try and pick some people up. So, I mean, I love that you can't go because you'll try and pick up Megan Fox.
No, it wasn't that. It was Chris's wife has to be with him 24/7 all the time.
24/7. That was where. Yeah.
If it was because that was young and then early on in their marriage. Welcome to the Chris Park marriage podcast. No, she. Yeah, like she wouldn't let him go anywhere unless she could come too.
But we do express this was a long, long time ago, and she has changed. And we do send lots of love, but now that we can actually have some time with Chris. Yeah.
So, well, you know, Turtles was like literally 10 years ago, the premiere.
Yeah, wow, you know? 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I met Megan Fox. Wasn't impressed.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, was she as dumb as she looked?
I don't know, she's... No energy behind her at all.
Hey, yeah. Just a quick question off topic. Did you end up watching Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon?
Part one, yes, not part two.
Yeah, part two just dropped.
I ended up watching something
else. I got fully legal. I got the new Ghostbusters movie a couple of days ago, so I'm keen to check that out.
Dude,
not yet,
it's
no.
So good. It's so good.
It's either going to watch it tonight or tomorrow, but... it's pretty cool. It looks amazing. Like you said, it's a great 90s action, like a 90s feel movie. So
yeah.
I'm keen to get on board with that in the next day or two, so we can talk about that on the next episode. But what I will mention while we're talking is, guys, if you haven't, I don't normally do this, but I actually binged a show for the first time in a long time. And guys, if you haven't checked out Fallout on Amazon Prime in Australia and Prime everywhere, around the world. Check it out. Seriously, if you're a fan of the game, even if you haven't played the games, like I think you haven't played them, have you, Jamie?
No.
Yeah, so you don't need to. Steph watched it. Me, I've played Fallout 3, 4, and New Vegas. Steph hasn't played any of it, and she was absolutely through. It was the first show that we actually watched all in one day. There's only 8 episodes, but they're good episodes. They're about 1 hour and 2 minutes each. So good, solid episodes. Great casting. I will have to mention one of my favorite characters in the game was the ghoul. So for those who don't know, if you get after the bomb went off, if you get stuck outside and not in one of the vaults, you eventually turn into one of these things called ghouls, and you're pretty much invincible. But if you don't have a special serum, every so often you go crazy. Bloodthirsty. And this guy, Walter Goggins, has been in so many different shows. He's in Justified, which is one of my dad's favorite shows. He was in Sons of Anarchy. He was in The Shield. He was in so many good shows. Plays what they don't call it. He is a ghoul, but he's the ghoul. He's lived for 200 years. Yeah. And he is like, he's a bounty hunter. And he, you know, as long as while hunting the serum that keeps him going, he also is a bounty hunter that will hunt for money. And he plays the role amazingly. So it was really, really good. The armor was spot on. Some of the enemies you see in the field were spot on. I was a bit disappointed that we didn't get to see one of the most infamous monsters in Fallout. It's something called a Deathclaw, and they're almost impossible to beat. We actually didn't get one, but there was a little hint when towards the end of the season we saw a Deathclaw skull, so we know that they're in this universe. And at the end of the series, there was a really good nod to the next game, which is Fallout New Vegas. So check it out. It's on Prime, 8 episodes, very, very easy to just keep going through and through. It's not comic book related technically, but it's video game related. But I watched that. And another thing I checked out, which just came out, was the Transformers 1 trailer.
Oh, okay.
Now, do you know much about this, Jamie?
No.
So basically Transformers 1 is an origin of Optimus Prime and Megatron. When they were friends and worked together. Chris Hemsworth versus voices Optimus Prime, or he's not known as Optimus Prime in this movie because Optimus Prime this starts off when they couldn't even transform. So it's all about them getting their ability to transform, and Bumblebee's in it, so they're working with Bumblebee. But the cast on it itself, as I said, I'm just bringing it up now, you've got Chris Hemsworth as Optimus Prime. You've got Lawrence Fishburne as Alpha Tron. You've got Scarlett Johansson as Alita One. You've got Keegan-Michael Key from Key and Peele as Bumblebee. John Hamm as the Sentinel Prime. Uh-huh. And Steve Buscemi's in it as well. It's a really good cast. It is animated, fully animated.
Oh, okay.
And it's the first time I've ever heard a Transformer, or I should say Megatron, say fuck in a movie.
There you go.
In the trailer, you only said it once, but yeah, it's about their journey on when they're working together to try and level up, so to speak, to get their transforming powers and actually work through it. So I believe it's coming out in September. at the cinemas right when the school holidays hit. And then it's coming to Paramount Plus, I think, a couple of months later. So it actually looks really good. The trailer just dropped the other day. If you haven't checked it out, I would recommend checking it out. It looks really cool. It looks like a really cool adventure. As I said, fully animated, but the animation style is really good. She's coming out by Paramount in September this year.
Yeah. So apparently at CinemaCon, I think it was CinemaCon, they played 9 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine.
They did.
Yes.
They did. I'm very, very, very jealous.
Did you have you read the summary of what
I
have it was?
No. I don't. Look, the only way I want to do it is if I can watch it.
Yeah.
I know our friend Chris likes to read scripts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was losing my voice a bit there. I'm not a synopsis reader in that retrospect.
Yeah.
I'll wait till the trailer. The trailer can't be far off anyway.
And it wouldn't surprise me if those 9 minutes leaked.
Well, honestly, we know it's going to be amazing. We know that it's going to be an absolute banger of a movie. Yeah. We know who's appearing in it and everything. Yeah. It's going to be like literally Ryan Reynolds said, it's ball to the wall. We're taking it as far as we can with this multiverse stuff because it's apparently this is the movie that's going to close off the multiverse saga.
Yeah.
And, Deadpool said, I think Ryan Reynolds said, you know how I like to close off multiverse things, watch the end of Deadpool 2. And, you know what I mean? Like, I think we can expect some stuff like that, but
yeah,
I mean, Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman as Wolverine and Deadpool in a movie together, that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're going to get all these awesome cameos.
Yeah. Comic book accurate too.
We're finally get the yellow suit. Yeah. Finally.
Yeah.
After this is like his 11th appearance or something as Wolverine. And we've never seen the yellow suit.
Yeah.
So, I think it comes out in July, I believe. So, July, if we haven't got a trailer yet, like, come on. Another trailer.
Yeah, like a more they'll drop one where you actually see Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
100%, because all we got to see is like a little bit at the end.
A teaser,
So I think we'll probably get another one maybe in a month or two, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah.
Because I think it is. I think it is July, the end of July this year that it's coming out.
Is it July or is it June?
I think it's July because I made a joke saying the last two came out on my birthday in February, and this one's coming out 2 days after Steph's birthday. So, the last two came out on February the 12th, and that was amazing because that was my birthday. But I think it's coming out in July.
Yeah, 26th of July.
Yeah, that's right. 2 days after Steph's birthday. I thought so.
Yeah, stupid July.
I can't wait. Cannot wait for that. That is now. I'm so happy that I can get out of the house, which means I can go and see that movie. So I'm excited. Yeah. I'm pumped.
We still got to go watch, the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yeah, I know that you've been talking about that one. I've actually restrained myself from watching a trailer because I want to go into it. I want to go into it, blind. I don't mind doing that for some movies. Like, I've kind of stopped watching trailers for a lot of movies because, sometimes it's good to just go in and have no expectations at all. But then there's movies, obviously, like Deadpool and Wolverine that I have to see the trailers for. I'm excited. The trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan Bing Bang movie came out called Trap. And that's I know you guys are a bit hit and miss with him. I must admit, like, he has got some bad films, but I don't mind his films. So I actually, like, I've seen them all. I'm looking for Josh Harnett, which he hasn't been in a movie for. He was in Oppenheimer, but he used to be in a lot of movies when I was growing up. So it's basically about a serial killer who gets trapped in a pop concert, and just take it from there. So, I don't mind. Like, I know a lot of people don't like it, but I actually really liked his last one, Knock at the Cabin.
That,
or whatever.
That was pretty interesting.
It was a good, but again, yet again, saying that he didn't write that. Yeah. He just produced it.
Yeah.
So that was actually based on a short story that came out a long, long time ago.
And there wasn't some M. Night twist in it, so, you know.
No, there really wasn't. It actually, I was sitting there waiting for it, and everything that they said happened actually did happen. I'm like, okay, there's no twist, no real, excitement, but it was actually Dave Bautista was a standout actor from that.
Yeah.
I think it really, really got me believing, okay, this guy is making a transition from wrestling to acting quite well. You know, because a lot of people have done that and not, you know, and haven't been too successful in doing that. You know, they're really only The Rock and John Cena that have made that successful jump. And now Dave Bautista with the Guardians of the Galaxy and all these other movies he's doing. He's in Dune and Dune 2. Yeah. He's pretty much been in a lot of movies. So he's making a good living in the movie industry. So
yeah,
a lot of big things coming out, and I'm very excited. A lot of good movies coming out. Yeah, that's not going to suck, because I'm tired of watching bad movies lately. So, but I really want to watch that Taika Waititi. What's that one that's on Disney Plus? The soccer one?
Yeah, that's okay.
I want to watch that.
It's like to me the peak of Taika is Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, 100%. That was amazing.
The soccer one. Next goal wins.
That's right.
Based on a true story. Look, it's okay.
Yeah.
I don't regret watching it. I mean, you know, Michael Fassbender's in it, and
yeah, it's got a good cast.
Yeah, it's typical Taika humor. Yeah. But I don't know. It just felt kind of a little underwhelming, you know.
Okay. I like my soccer movies, and the last soccer movie I did watch was Pele. So hopefully it won't be too underwhelming. Yours and Chris' recommendation. So
Pele is the anime of football movies, soccer movies. Pele craps all over Next Goal Wins.
Yeah. I think I'll enjoy it, because I do, like, I know people give Taika shit because of Thor, Love and Thunder, which was not great at all. Yeah. But, I mean, I've watched some of his earlier ones, like Boy What We Do in the Shadows, man. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah,
Hunt for the World of People. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, he does have good movies. Yeah. I think just when it came to the big pressure of Marvel, I think he just.
No, it's the Michael Bay thing.
Okay.
Michael Bay was a really good filmmaker, and then they gave him money. It was just like explosions over the top. It was like.
Or did you know that Michael Bay, when he's not making movies, actually shoots Victoria's Secret commercials?
Yeah.
I mean, like, to go from something where there's explosions everywhere to just naked women. Yeah. I mean, he does do. He does like to include nerd girls in his Victoria's Secret. I have seen a couple of girls with glasses in there. So, and according to Michael Bay, that's a nerd.
Yeah. Well, all you gotta do is just put the glasses on. Yeah.
Put glasses on.
How do we make you nerdy? You need to be more nerdy.
Put glasses on. That's it. We win. You've got it. Yeah.
But best Michael Bay movie, hands down, The Rock.
Yep. Oh, mate, you cannot. I cannot say a bad word about that film.
Yeah, and that's before they get any money. Just,
yeah. Yep, and that was like one of Sean Connery's last films. Like his last film was The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yep.
And that was, I think he did that. Did The Rock just not long before that.
Yeah.
That is an amazing movie. I think that's on Disney Plus too. I might have to go and rewatch it, but
it's the absolute best.
Nicolas Cage, Sean Connery, man, that's amazing. Anyway, this is not the movie. This is not the movie podcast.
Yeah. In other comic book news, did you hear that Action Comics number one sold for $6 million a couple weeks ago?
You know what? That's disappointing. That's actually disappointing, because I've heard him go for a lot more than that. It mustn't have been like a 9 grade or something.
No, well they were saying that the 3 years prior it went for 5.3.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm confused, but okay, all right. Who bought it? Was that Nicolas Cage's one?
I don't think so, because they would have said Nicolas Cage. It just said at an auction.
Man, that if it's a first edition.
Yeah, they probably don't tell people.
Yeah, because then you're breaking and stealing.
Well, that happened to some dude in some country. Like, he was had his millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of collection of comic books and stuff like that. Yeah. And then he died, and someone broke in and stole it all before it could get, handed to who he wanted to hand it to. Like,
I think Action Comics number one and Detective Comics 27 are the most sought after and most expensive comics to sell. Because obviously Detective Comics 27, the first appearance of Batman and Robin, And Action Comics won one of the first appearances of Superman. So
yeah,
I can see it going for that much.
Okay, you know, so this was an 8.5 grade.
8.5, so yeah, that's pretty good, yeah. Man. That's pretty impressive.
And
I mean, it's almost a 100-year-old comic. It's a 1940 something. Like, give it another 10, 15 years and it's 100 years old.
Yeah, that's it.
To keep it in that good condition for so many years, that's amazing.
Because another, they're saying that another number one, Action Comic number one, sold for $408,000.
But that must have been a really shit
quote. It was a 0.5.
Yeah, that would have been. Imagine that. For almost $500,000.
Yeah.
For a zero, like it probably was half a page or something.
Yeah.
But imagine being a kid, right? And being a kid back in the 1940 and going to, and you don't know what you've got in your hand. You've got a first edition comic, Action Comics one. You go home, you read it. You're having some Cheetos at the same time. You get fucking like Cheeto dust all over it. You spill your Coke on it and whatever. And you're like, ah, it's all right. And then now you're like, in your 70s or 80s, and you're going, shit, I could have sold this for like $7.7 million.
Yeah.
Like, buyer's remorse massively.
Well, the thing is, you don't know. Like, I mean,
no, you don't.
Why do you think I bought two complete sets of first prints of The Last Ronin?
Yeah. And well, they're still going for almost $1,000 or something. I still see on eBay, they're still going quite well.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't know. Like, I'm sitting here looking at my collection of comics and figurines and everything, and I don't even think, like, I like I said to Chris at my birthday thing at the hotel, I said, he's like, oh, do you want to open it? And I'm like, I'm not that kind of person. Like,
yeah,
I don't care if it turns out to be, like, we turn around and 15, 20 years later, something that I've opened is going for, like, $2 million. Am I going to sit there and go, nah, or I can sit there and go, look, that was a present given to me and I'm looking at it for 10, 15 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's why you do what Chris does and what you do. You always buy two.
That's
one that you can play with and one that you can find. But speaking of other comic news before we move on, have you checked out any of the X-Men 97 animated series?
No, I have. I've heard mixed things. I've heard it's doing well, but I've heard...
I haven't either. I've got them all. Like, I've got them lined up and queued up, ready to go. I've heard something massive happens in episode 5 that everyone is just, now they're fully on board for.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people were touch and go. They're like, yeah, you know, maybe, yes, no. But, and then something happened in episode 5 and everyone's like, nah, we're addicted to it now. So it's making me want to jump on and have a look at it. Yeah. But I was just curious to see, because I was pumped for it coming out, because it's a continuation of the X-Men we grew up on.
Yeah.
But I haven't really been in the zone to go, hey, I want to watch some cartoons.
And yeah, you know, Marvel's been hit and miss, and they've lost their steam.
Yep. As someone who, as I said, many episodes, as someone who's watched Madame Web and the Marvels, I can 100% agree with you there. I have no faith in Marvel anymore.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing for me to say, because I was like, always, let's go Marvel, you know, like, oh, Marvel could do no wrong. But yeah, since Infinity War ended, they've only had a few good movies. Yeah. Very disappointed in you, Marvel and Kevin Feige. Very disappointed. If you're listening, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Well, maybe they needed to release a whole lot of crap to give us Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
You know, because imagine
if that was a negotiation. Okay, we need to get Deadpool and Wolverine out. What do we need to do? We need to do the multiverse saga, because this is how it's going to end. Okay, so we're going to do 10 shitty movies to get one good one? Yes, let's do it.
And then that one good one will be undoing the like previous
exactly. Where they could have just not given us those movies and just given us Deadpool, Wolverine to start with, and we would have been fine. But hey, look, I'm not an executive. What do I know? I'm just a fan.
That's it.
You know, look, at least we've got a couple of months, we've got a good movie. We know that there's going to be a good Marvel movie coming out.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that can make this movie bad. Unless Ryan Reynolds is trying to play the biggest prank on us in the history of prank and giving us amazing trailer, and then all of these is just Ryan Reynolds sitting there talking for 3 hours.
I don't know. That would be pretty funny.
Yeah, but I'd probably still enjoy that anyway.
Like how the first Deadpool movie, how they cut out, they had to cut out 12 pages or something.
Yep.
And they wrote it into the script that they had, you know?
Yep.
And it was so obvious. Oh, I forgot my bag of guns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know? And it worked. Like, Deadpool could work on a budget easy, you know? It's like
100%. 100%. No, at least we've got that to look forward to.
Even when everyone was terrified it was going to be PG Deadpool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It would be hilarious because he would know he's being PG'd and all the sensor bars would come up. You just can't. Yeah. Even when Deadpool was in the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon, you know, and he's like some kid Deadpool and it works so well. He's like, oh no, look, it's a booby trap. He's like, you said trap.
He said traps.
It's the best. That series is so good though.
They had so many Spider-Man cartoons that came out after the initial one that only lasted, they had one or two series, you know?
Yeah.
But like that one there that I think you put me onto that one was so good that I just wanted more. But then they stopped that and then they made another one and you have to start all over. It's ridiculous. Hey,
they got me five good seasons. Like I'm happy. If any show goes five seasons, I'm happy with that. And it was like full seasons, you know?
Yeah, like 20-something episodes.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Cool. So. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, you wouldn't think that we're here to talk about Sweet Tooth at all, would you, after listening to us for about half an hour?
I was just going to bring up something first related to Sweet Tooth.
Yes. Ah, yes, I think I know what you're talking about.
So, Jeff Lemire on his Instagram posted a purple triangle thingy, basically saying that he's got a new project coming and it's going to be his first long running comic book series since Sweet Tooth. And he didn't say what it was, just that it's coming.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, he's more known at the moment. He's only really been doing 6 to 12 issue limited series, or he'll do like a full graphic novel. You know what I mean? He hasn't done much in terms of long, even when he DC work, you know, he's only been on for 12 or 18 issues, so I'm looking forward to it.
This is a direct quote from him. For a while now, I have felt like the ongoing series in comics is a dying breed.
Yep.
I'm guilty of this myself, having put out a lot of shorter projects over the last several years. But as both a comics fan and a creator, I have been craving longer format stories again. Series like the classic Vertigo monthlies that would drive me to the comic shops every week when I was younger. So, look, I don't know what it is, but I'm on board.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Like he does his best work when he's telling long stories. And that's again like why, you know, we say that the Easter Sweet Tooth issues, you know, they may not be jam packed full of words, but you know, in the entire run of the series, he gets the story told and he gets it told well.
Yep. And again, it's
man, I'm keen. I cannot wait for that. That might be one of the first ones I jump back on current, you know, while I'm catching up.
Did you see the post? Because it had like the 80-something birthday of Superman or something. And he put up, Jeff Lemire put up a little picture of, he drew Superman.
Yep.
In his style. It looks so cool.
It looks pretty damn impressive to me.
Yep. Well.
So I'm keen. I'm happy. I've pretty much read everything Jeff Lemire's done. So to me, it's not a, I wonder if I'm going to jump on it. It's a more of a, can I just have it now, please?
Yes, 100%.
And it's going to be annoying because, like I said, he tells the story, like, say, for example, Sweet Tooth, over 50-odd issues. He tells the story slowly, but it works. Yeah. But I jumped onto Sweet Tooth when it was finished.
Yes.
So I was able to read all of it in one hit.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to go, whether I'm going to build it up with Jeff Lemire and go, like, six issues and just read it and go, okay, cool. Because that's how his stories are meant to be read. You know what I mean?
I discovered IDW Turtles pretty late.
Yeah.
And what I did is I did volumes. You know? But a whole volume is so there's like four issues or five issues in a volume. Yep. And I got to, you know, read a whole chunk and that seemed to work for me. So I might even do that with, you know, whatever he's doing next.
Yeah, look, I think with Jeff Lemire, it's going to be one of the ones, it's going to be worth doing it that way.
Yep.
Because as I said, you know how he tells you know what kind of storyteller he is. He likes to tell stories, but he tells them very slow, and he has a slow build up to it, which is, as I said, works for some people. It definitely works for Jeff Lemire. But as I said, I'm a guy who I'm like, give it to me now. You know, I mean, I'm like Chris in that retrospect. I want everything now because
everything now,
know how I know how good it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I want it all. And I want to be able to sit down and read it all in an afternoon. Like with Sweet Tooth, I read it all in, I think, a 3-hour block.
Yeah.
Because as you can see with Jeff Lemire, you can do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just sat there and I read it in an afternoon block. And it was absolutely amazing. So, but yeah, I'm one of those people who's like, just give it to me, give it all to me right now.
Yeah.
But at least something to look forward to every week or every month or however often he does it.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, what do you say we polish off this Sweet Tooth arc?
I think, yes. I think it's been good. We've got a lot of news to talk about, so we get a decent sized episode. So, yeah, let's jump in. I've got it up and ready to go. So, let's smack through it.
So, we are going to do what we always do, read through the synopsis, discuss this issue. And then, after we've done that, Ryan is going to announce what we're doing next. What arc we're doing next.
Something with a lot more words.
And it's not Last Ronin.
No.
Part two. Because there's a lot of words in that first issue.
We're going back in the archives, which I'm really excited about. It's something Jamie hasn't read before. It's something I've read probably about 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm very excited to get back into it.
It's Asterix and Obelix.
I remember those ones. I think they were the only ones we had in school.
Yes.
And I used to go to the graphic novel section in the school, and there was like 2-3 books, and it was all Asterix and Obelix. And that was all you could read. And it's like, this is the best thing ever. And then you used to go to the paper shop and go, oh, okay, we've got Wolverine, we've got X-Men, we've got Spider-Man.
No, you went to the paper shop, and it was the Phantom.
Phantom. You know what? Phantom is still the only comic that actually is in the paper shop. You get a random issue of like X-Men or Spider-Man here and there, but Phantom is there every week.
I know. I love Phantom.
That publisher must be raking the cash in.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's probably got a deal with newspapers.
Corner of the newsstand market.
Yeah.
But yes, let's jump into Sweet Tooth, issue 5.
Yes.
Which we've been trying to do for the last 45 minutes.
Yes. Out of the Deep Woods, part 5, aka conclusion. So we will warn you, this does end on a cliffhanger. So if you want to know more, pick up the omnibus like I have, or read it online.
Yeah, you can read it at readcomicsonline.li, which is good. You've pretty much got everything that was ever written. It's a really good research. I don't know. It hasn't been shut down in the 30-odd years I've been reading comics, so I don't think it's illegal. So check it out.
Yeah. Cool, cool. All right. Here we go. So Gus and Jeppard ride towards a valley that leads to the preserve. A group of men try and stop them. During the ride, Gus is thrown from the horse and is knocked out. He has a vision of speaking with his father. His dad warns him he needs to follow the rules. He claims he died and that Gus caused the accident and his death. A lot of in-depth there. And that's actually something that they did well in the show as well. When he had a dream and he's there with his dad, it was very emotional.
Oh, definitely. But you got to say that. Are you missing out on all the awesome kills?
Yes.
In that retrospect, even when he's passed out, even when Gus has passed out, you're still getting visions of, you know, the murder that's happening all alongside.
Yeah, and man, that first page where it says Sweet Tooth out of the Deep Woods, the conclusion, and it's just Jeppard riding.
I love it. And the two buses.
Yeah, two buses are riding straight towards the – he's like, charge straight through. That's what we got to do, you know.
You know what? And this is going to sound really crazy, but it's a really, really weird comparison, but – seeing that picture kind of reminds me of Return of the King, you know, when they're all standing around Sauron's area, you know, and Aragorn's just like, for Frodo! And then they just all charge. So I just picture like he's riding towards these two buses with at least 30 to 40 guys all armed with guns, And it's just like, let's go, ball to the wall.
Like,
and I also like when when Gus is having that conversation with his father, the decomposition of his father as the conversation goes along, it kind of shows, you know, like, hey, he's not really here. You know, he's trying to tell Gus everything before he's fully decomposed.
Yeah. That's, yeah. No, that is like, I mean, this is a great end to the arc.
Yeah.
And actually, even the riding through the buses and, you know, getting shot at and just screw it, let's go through. That reminds me, you remember Band of Brothers? Did you watch Band of Brothers?
Yeah, 100%.
And this guy was given charge of the soldiers or whatever, and one of them was wondering what was happening. So he ran through an occupied city with all these German soldiers looking at him, and he just runs, American soldier, runs straight through, gets to the other side. What are you doing? What's going on? Why haven't you attacked? And then runs back again, and it's like, doesn't even get shot. But sadly, Jeopardy gets shot and the horse dies.
Yeah. In the shoulder, though. In the shoulder.
No horses were harmed in the making of this comic book. Like, I actually can't say that. I don't know that, if that's an actual thing.
We don't know for a fact.
Yes. Anyway, so Gus gets knocked out. And he wakes up and sees Jeopardy cleaning himself off. He hurries him along and carries Gus through the valley. Again, another beautiful shot. Sunset, I believe. Sun's going down. And it's just that carrying the hybrid sleeping child.
And it shows evolution too, because then eventually Gus starts walking behind him and Shepard's not really carrying him anymore.
Yep. It's the comic book montage, as we call it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. So they arrive at the preserve. The facility is surrounded by high fences, armed guards, and watchtowers. Gus tells Jeopardy he doesn't feel comfortable going in anymore. Jeopardy pushes through and asks for Abbott at the gate.
Yep.
He's given a large duffel bag as a payment, and then Gus is hauled off to be thrown into the kennels. There's a lot to unpack there because we know what happens. We know what's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it's a little different from the show, but look, I reckon that in the show, the guy who plays Abbott is just perfect. Like, he was 100%. The perfect Abbott. They did give him big, bushy facial hair, which he doesn't have in the comic. But
yeah, I think they with the show, like, I've only watched season one of the show. But I think I do agree the casting is pretty much spot on, even though, you know, they race swapped Jeopardy, but it doesn't matter. That guy, I love that guy that plays him, man. Like, you still get that feeling of Jeopardy. You know what I mean? When you see him.
See, I'm more annoyed, not at the race swap, but that in the comics he was a hockey player. You know?
Yeah.
And in that they've made him a football player. I'm going, like, did you have to do the, like,
I think if the series was made by a Canadian team and director, he probably would have been a hockey player. Yeah. But unfortunately, it's an American team, so you know, football.
Yeah, and look, it worked. It worked. They did change Becky a lot, like in the show. Yeah. She's completely different from here. You know,
like, yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, but look, the show. I still love the show. It still works. And season 3 is coming out in June.
And I think you mentioned that there was a trailer that dropped for season 2. I haven't watched it yet because I haven't finished season 2. So even though I probably know what's going to happen, I still like watching the show just in case there's some changes. You know what I mean?
Chris jumped off. I think it was season 2.
I thought he would because of prison arc.
Yeah, because he hates prison arcs. I'm going, like, I love prison arcs.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks, exactly. Oh, it's, you know, it's lazy writing. I'm going, no, it forces you to write better because you've confined your characters to a spot.
A smaller, you're locked in one kind of area.
Yeah.
Show me what you can do in one area rather than an open world situation.
Yeah. Instead of run out free, do whatever you want, you know. Yeah. But yeah. I think he came clean and said it's more so he can't handle, like, it's uncomfortable for him. Like, he couldn't watch a show called Man vs. Bee, which is a phenomenally great show on Netflix with Rowan Atkinson. It's Rowan Atkinson, and his house, it's this rich people's house, and there's a bee that keeps annoying him. Yeah. and it's just the bee kept, you know, when like stuff, everything just goes wrong, and you're sitting there and you're watching it, and you're going like, don't do that. It's just uncomfortable. That's how Chris feels with Prison Marks. No, I reckon they work.
I really, really enjoyed going back to book one of Sweet Tooth. I think that was a good choice, something different, and obviously topical because of the TV show that's out at the moment. So I think that was it was a very good read. Again, Jeff Lemire doesn't use too many words, but he's more of a show through illustration. But I hope you guys enjoyed that and picked it up and checked it out, or even if you just read one or two issues, it's something new. You can now go to Netflix and watch the show and go, okay, I see what changes they've made, and very interesting. So we're like teachers. We're guiding you through this journey of comic books. And speaking of journeys of comic books, we're going to be looking at a very important journey for our next arc. And this is we're going back to old Iron Man. And everyone obviously knows who Iron Man is because of the Avengers and the movies. And so again, you guys, it's not topical, but it is. It's one of the more important stories that Tony Stark had to go through, one of the most famous battles that he goes through, and that's his battle with alcoholism in Demon in a Bottle. You've got appearances by the Mandarin. You've got, basically Tony is just drinking himself stupid, and obviously, he's getting into the Iron Man suit after he's had a lot of alcohol and hijinks ensue. And he's got to sort of pay for those mistakes and make a decision that, does he want to still be Iron Man, or does he want to just, live for the drink? And because all of his enemies are taking notice and they're like, well, look, this is just going to make it easier. So it's not the most action-packed story, but it's a story that I believe everyone should at least read once in their life. And Jamie hasn't read it, so.
No, that'll be first time for me. And we did, correct me if I'm wrong, we did get a little bit of drunken Iron Man in Iron Man 2?
We did, And they touched on it briefly.
Yeah. At least they tried.
They touched on it briefly, but this goes into a lot more detail of his battle with alcoholism and how it affects, obviously you see stories about normal people going through battles of alcoholism, but imagine you're Tony Stark. You've got billions of dollars at your fingertips. You've got one of the world's most, the world's most dangerous and weapons in your, that you can step into in a second, and you're an alcoholic. You know what I mean? Like it's not the traditional story. Of good versus evil. It's a man's battle within himself, and I think everyone should read this. Not for a political standpoint, just because it's a great story, and it shows Iron Man overcoming demons that he never thought he'd have to take on. So, it's something that everyone should read at least once in their lifetime. And we're going to do it starting next episode.
Yes. Next episode will be an interview. Though we've got fantasy writer, fantasy. I think he touches in horror, a little bit of horror too. So it's like fantasy horror, which I'm love.
I'm slightly erect.
I love because I like the idea, because it's just like horror, full horror hasn't really been done much in fantasy.
Yeah.
Really? Lord of the Rings sort of with the spider thing, but imagine a hardcore.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. Horror. I wouldn't consider Lord of the Rings horror fantasy.
No. No, but there's jumpy bits,
Oh yeah, there are jump scares, watched the trilogy. I get you.
But I don't know too much about it. We're going to hear all about it. The guy's name is Damian Francis. That could be his real name. It could be a author name. We'll find out when we have him on. But
I'm looking forward to that one.
Well, guys, thank you for listening. As always, if you want to reach out, thetrueandthefictional@gmail.com. Instagram, stories_podcast, on Facebook, YouTube, all that stuff. Hope you've been enjoying not only the Sweet Tooth that we have done, but these comic book episodes in general. And thank you guys so much for listening, and thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, thanks. And thank you for Jamie for coming up with this idea, because I've had a lot of fun doing these episodes. Comics is something that I've been into. I'm 42 now. I've been into since I was probably 8 or 9. And I think everyone has that area where you read them and then you go to high school and then you sort of jump out of it and then you jump back in. And it's been fantastic reading some of my favorite stories and some new ones too, like Last Ronin. I'd read a couple of issues, but I sort of stepped off because they were taking too long to come out. And so it was great to read them all in one hit and discuss that with Jamie. So I'm really looking forward to these. So, I think this is, I think maybe a 20th or something. So hopefully we've got a lot more coming.
Sweet, sweet. All right, guys. We'll catch you next time.
We'll see you next time.
This podcast is brought to you by Martin Kearns and the Valor of Valhalla series. In the battle between two ancient evils, can one naive young man become the last hope against powerful creatures of legend? Beneath the Veil is the gripping first book in the Valor of Valhalla dark urban fantasy series. If you like reluctant heroes, infernal myths, and bloody epic clashes, then you'll love Martin Kearns' formidable foray into the unknown. So head on over to readkearns.com and grab yourself a copy of Beneath the Veil today.